All right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. And it is the middle of the week. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
It's hump day.
Exactly. You knew where I was going with that. Yeah, that's it. So not necessarily a lot is going on in the sports world, but there is one big event that just took place, and that was the MLB All-Star Game, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But there's also important news this morning. Tom Brady's appeal for his suspension was once again denied. So he's still, at this moment, he is suspended for the first four games of the season. And I mean, for the Deflategate part, I mean, I don't really feel like it deserves a four-game suspension, but I think this whole thing stems from all the times that they've caught the Patriots, you know, bending the rules a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's my opinion, and it's probably kind of biased because I really don't like the Patriots or Tom Brady, but...
Well, I think it's because it's like they couldn't get them on anything else, so they're going to get them on this, you know?
Well, I mean, they have gotten them on other stuff, like
when
they filmed the Rams practices, walkthrough or whatever, before the Super Bowl back in, like, the early 2000s. I don't remember what year it was because it was a while ago.
Which was probably, like, the last time it was worth filming a Rams practice, to be
probably.
Honest with you.
They kind of been terrible for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Okay with it. I think it's dumb that they're suspending him for that, but I think it's because of the other stuff.
Oh yeah. It's just the smallest excuse to get the person that they've been wanting to get.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, I mean, however bad they do in those four games, they'll be good enough with Tom Brady back that they'll still make it to the playoffs. And even if you look at it this way, like Tom Brady's getting a little bit older, and so he doesn't have as much in the tank as he did like a couple years ago. So for him to get the first four games off, I mean, I feel like in the long run that might be beneficial to him. So that's part of it why I was like, ah, dang it.
Yeah, because he's going to come back rusted for like a month.
Well, I doubt it. I don't think he will. But my thing is just that he's going to have rest from those first 4 weeks. He's not going to like be doing stuff to wear out his body. So at the end of the season, he's playing, say, like, in the last game of the season, week 17, their 16th game, he's going to be playing like it's his 12th game. So he's still going to have a lot more left in the tank than you'd think. But anyway, that happened this morning, or at least I saw it this morning. Maybe it happened last night, but I'm pretty sure it happened this morning.
Yeah, I didn't see it till this morning either, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know why they do things so early, because to me, that's just kind of crazy.
It's probably East Coast. That's the problem.
Yeah. I guess they are a couple hours ahead of us.
They like doing things early.
Yeah, I guess it's like 11 o'clock there, so I mean, it's almost time to wake up there.
Yeah. I think it's early enough to finally deny Tom Brady an appeal, so.
Is this early enough to deny the Patriots their first four games of the season?
Judge woke up,
I think so.
Put a pot of coffee on, and decided to reject Tom Brady's appeal.
You know, I'm just really feeling that rejection today.
It's one of those days.
Denied.
It's just one of those days.
One of those days that, more than most, reminds us that war, however much we may enjoy it, is no Strawberry Festival. That's from MASH, and one of the funniest episodes of MASH. It's called the Novikin Mutiny. But, yeah, it's funny. It's a good times, you know. I'm sad that that's not on Netflix still. Because I was going to watch them all again. I was going to watch all the ones I had seen again, and then watch all the ones I hadn't seen, but wasn't able to because they took it off Netflix. So whoever's in charge of Netflix, if you're listening, please put MASH back on it. I'm asking very kindly and politely. So how is your week going?
It's been good. It's been good. Not suffering from any MASH blues, but no, it's been good.
So. You know, I mean, when you do, it just makes it so hard to function.
I almost didn't even show up today.
I was really considering staying in bed because of MASH not being on Netflix. No, not really. Yesterday was super long for me because I got up. Well, I mean, I got up later, so that was nice. But I got up, went to work, worked until 4:30, and then I came and did a radio show last night at 5, over Competitive Bystanders, which was good. And then we had board of directors meeting for Aggie Radio after that. And then after that, met with someone who wanted to do a show, and we're going to be doing a show next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. And then we're here in the studio last night while Tyler was tweaking some stuff. I didn't leave. I didn't get back home until around 9, I think. So I was like gone all day. It was awesome. But anyway, I just want to move on. You came up with a Wall of Shame entry, correct?
I did.
Awesome. I did too. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. Not sure exactly who to blame on this one, but this is an All-Star Game related one. David Ortiz only getting one at bat and leaving after only a couple innings in his final All-Star game.
That's weird.
I mean, I know it's like it's All-Star game, so it's like nobody really, except unless you want home field advantage, nobody really has to try because it's an All-Star game per se. Yeah. But I don't know. It seems like Poppy should have gotten another at bat. You know,
Show the man some respect.
Yeah, it's his last one.
Yeah.
So I don't know who to blame for that because I don't know if it's Ned Yost, the manager, or whoever. Yeah. But
I don't know. Well, did he play about even with everybody else, like the same amount?
I don't know because he only played like three innings or something, three or four innings. I mean, I know they rotate through pitchers really quickly in the All-Star game, but I don't know about position players.
I usually still like the batters and stuff. There's not very many extras, are there?
There's like a few reserves, but I don't know. I just thought, you know, since this is 10th and final All-Star game, going down 0-1 and then just leaving the game, I was like,
In the immortal words of Yoda, how embarrassing. How embarrassing.
Can you believe this?
But no, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I think I've talked about this before about how I think that you shouldn't necessarily, you know, start guys just because of the career they've had. I mean, it has to be more about like what they're doing lately. Yeah. Because you can't ignore like guys that are having great seasons just because they're younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I mean, for me, I don't necessarily have a big problem with it, but I mean, I guess he's having a good season, right?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's a designated hitter, so.
Yeah.
You know, he just has to make sure.
We know how we feel about those.
So, I mean, all he has to do is just get, you know, 33% of his at-bats to get hits and all that. But, yeah, I don't know. I just thought, I mean, because he is a designated hitter, but he's one of the few designated hitters that's, I think, at least a legitimate.
That's actually a threat every time.
Yeah. It's so. Yeah,
well, I guess that makes sense, I suppose.
I just think it's kind of an anticlimactic send-off to the guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that perception. But, yeah, my entry for the Wall of Shame comes to us from, well, not exactly the NFL, but the wife of someone in the NFL. So, Mecco Grimes, wife of Brent Grimes, who's a cornerback. He was on the Dolphins last year. He signed with the Buccaneers or was traded to the Bucs, I don't remember. But anyway, he's on the Buccaneers now. His wife is constantly tweeting about stuff and being, basically, I feel like she's giving him bad rep. Kind of like with Ayesha Curry during the finals, like tweeting out that the NBA was rigged because Golden State lost a game or something. It's like, really?
Yep, that's it.
I mean, a lot of the people think that the rigging is in favor of your husband, and you're complaining yeah, about losing a game.
She might be the only person that thought the rigging was going the other way around.
Well, I'm sure lots of Golden State fans thought that at the end of that series that
they deserve
it was
that
rigged.
Feeling,
but
though.
I mean, for me, they didn't deserve to even be in that series based on their performance in the first, you know, four games of the Western Conference Finals. They really shouldn't have been in that game. But either way, that's beside the point. But anyway, Miko Grimes, she's tweeted, like, criticizing the team, like the Dolphins last year when Brent Grimes was on them. And then just within the last week, she tweeted out and said, like, basically was saying that, oh, she made anti-Semitic remarks.
Oh yeah, no, I remember.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess the owner of the Dolphins is Jewish.
And he's keeping his Jew buddies
yeah,
in business.
And she said, she tweeted out that he's keeping his Jew buddies in business. And it's like, okay, why did you think that was an okay thing to send out?
Yeah, that's surprisingly out there, you know, for a Jewish comment. That's
yeah, and then
surprisingly out in the open.
Afterwards, she's like, she tried to make it sound like she wasn't trying to say that it was just because they were Jewish. She's like, oh, no, they were not anti-Semitic. What are you talking about? You're crazy. It's like, you literally said he's employing his Jew buddies. I mean, first off, you could say his buddies who happen to be Jews, and it probably wouldn't be come across as badly. But either way, I mean, you've got to be careful about what you're saying. And, like, honestly, I think she needs to delete her Twitter because she is constantly getting him in trouble for that. So, I mean, she's kind of out of control. But she's, like, constantly doing that, and I was just like, okay, she's going on the wall of shame this time.
So now, in addition to banks and the media and the New World Order, the Jews also running the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, they're the reason Brent Grimes had a rough time in Miami.
Which kind of, like,
because he's declining in his career.
Which kind of destroys some of the luster of the conspiracy theory, where it's like, oh, banks, media, Miami Dolphins. Ooh, okay, I guess they're not as powerful as I thought. But,
so. Oh, they are powerful.
Secret conspiracy. I remember ridiculous. Seeing that, and I was just like, really? You know, we're gonna. I don't know. I thought we got past Jew jokes like decades ago. I didn't think that was still around.
I mean, yeah, you'd think they would be gone because, I mean, especially after what happened. With, you know, Hitler and the Holocaust and stuff, you'd think that people wouldn't, like, stop with the Jew stuff because they've suffered a ton. So it's really sad when that is brought up. I mean, sure, the owner probably hired the guys who were his friends. They also happen to be Jewish. I don't think you hired them say, hey, you guys are Jewish, right? Okay, well, I can hire you then. I mean, that's not how you go about business. It's not like Jewish people go out there and just say, oh, I'm going to only hire Jewish people. And for her to say that was just pretty ridiculous. And so she gets in the wall of shame. I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up there again during the football season. But she'll probably find a way to criticize.
You know what we need? We just need a tweet from her once a week. Just the highlights, you know, just
you could probably find lots of good stuff on her Twitter feed. I'm actually going to look it
best
up now
of the
see
worst.
If there's any other good
best
gems.
Of the worst. Here we go. It's our new segment.
The best of the worst.
NFL wives tweets.
Or just like professionals, spouses.
Yeah, professional sports wives tweets. Just, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, where did you get, does that even come into play?
Right? And according to the Bucks ownership, like, family, they're upset with her tweeting that out, which is understandable because it reflects badly on their organization. Hmm. And it's something we talked about last night, is like when you are married to someone who's a professional athlete or, like, involved with a professional team, you kind of have to be careful with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because people will take what you're saying and say it reflects, you know, what the team thinks or what the players on the team think. And really, it's definitely not.
Well, yeah, and from, like, a business standpoint, it's like, okay, now we got to clean this up.
Yeah.
Not like we already, I don't know what the Bucks situation is with, like, player conduct, but, like, say your team has discipline issues. Okay, well, now we got to deal with that. And some crazy spouse tweeting off, you know, racial crap, you know?
Yeah, and I thought that, I mean, I just was trying to look her up, but I guess you have to be a confirmed follower to see what she's tweeting, so she has it set up that way.
So you have to follow her first, and then...
And then she has to confirm that you're a follower, and then you can see it, but I don't feel... I don't care that much.
Our spouse tweet segment just got a lot more trickier.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some good stuff in Mayesha Curry during the finals, but... Yeah.
No, what I love... I love
always this... about it being rigged against the Warriors.
I think one of my favorites, though, is whoever Tom Brady's wife is when...
Giselle?
Yeah, when... Some about... I can't remember if it was in the Super Bowl or something, but she was, like, going off. It's like, my husband can't throw and catch the ball at the same time.
Yeah, she was totally ridiculing his receivers.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's stuff like that. I mean, it really ruins relationships. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that could cost, like, Brent Grimes his job. They could, like, release him because they don't want to be involved with what his wife is doing.
Or at least it just...
I'm sure they'll give him a warning first. I don't think they'll just be like, okay. But, I mean, it also depends on what... she would say, which that, like, being anti-Semitic is really really one of those things that they're not going to give people warnings on, because you should know.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just embarrassing for the for the team. It's like, now they have to deal with something that's not football related, that has nothing to do with their on-field performance, but it's still dragging them down anyway.
Yeah, so, and
it's just
come on.
And it's like, do we really need to know what what some of the family members are thinking?
Hopefully you're not thinking stuff like this, like anti-Semitic things. But if you are, don't tweet it.
That's the problem.
And try to work on not thinking
that. It's the Twitter age. That's the problem. It's like, we used to have, I don't know how big a filter we had, but it's like we didn't have as many outlets for random thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's the thing, is like, anybody can tweet anything, like, at any time they can, and they'll have an audience at least to some degree. And that's, I mean, it's cool, but at the same time, it's kind of worrisome, because you'll have people tweeting out stuff like this, and you'll have people that are tweeting out stupid things, like stupid ideas, and people will think that they're good ideas, a la Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, Donald Trump's Twitter, we could look up Donald Trump's Twitter probably and get some good gems.
I wonder if there's a Donald Trump's
sport.
There's got
to be good gems
tweets.
There. I doubt it, because I doubt he knows anything about sports. maybe he does, but I doubt it. But I mean, he's definitely gonna have some good gems. I mean, maybe that's something we'll have to look up for Friday. Is just like, just find some really, like, bad tweets that are related to sports or sports people.
Bad sports tweets. I like that.
Bad sports tweets.
Bad sports tweets.
We'll have to get on that.
we gotta do better Twitter monitoring, if that's...
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to put more effort into it.
Which is fine if we can find some real gold mines of stuff.
But yeah, I mean, regardless of what you do, you have to be careful about what you're saying. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you're related to any... Oh yeah, and also I wanted to go back and say that the views of the people on the Aggie Morning War do not necessarily reflect those of the studio with regards to superhero movies and, well, a lot of things there at the end of that show. Just because Morgan doesn't like superhero movies doesn't mean that Aggie Radio is opposed to superhero movies, because I believe most of the people involved with Aggie Radio like superhero movies, and there are people like me that absolutely love them. Of course, my views don't necessarily reflect the station's views.
But probably more closely to the station's views.
Probably, at least in this case. I mean, I can't speak for the entire station as a whole, because I don't have that authority.
But we could guess.
But I'm just going to go out here and say that the sports people, I think that most everyone likes superhero movies. I'm pretty sure. I haven't done a poll or anything. Maybe I'll have to do that, but... Yeah. But yeah, so that was my entry for the Wall of Shame.
That was a good one.
People, be careful about what you're tweeting, because you don't want to negatively reflect negatively on your family or who you work for. It's like this thing where I work for Jimmy John's, And when I'm delivering sandwiches and I have my car topper on, it says Jimmy John's on the top of my car, I can't honk at people when they cut me off or when they do something stupid in front of me. And
you can't talk
I
about.
I can't really like yell at them out my window or anything. I can't let them really know how I feel.
You can't talk about Jimmy's Jewish business partners. That's just not professional.
He could have some. I don't have any idea, but it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, if he did and I had a problem with it, I definitely couldn't talk about it. Or, I mean, because first off, I mean, having a problem with someone based on their religion or ethnicity is just stupid. It's stupid. And if I do have a problem with them personally, I cannot bring in either of those two things to justify why I have a problem with them. If I have a problem with them, like, I just have to tell them, or tell why I have a problem with them.
I hope, what's her name? Who we're talking?
Miko Grimes.
Miko, yeah. I hope she comes out. I don't know if she came out with an apology tweet, but I hope it's like one of those passive non-apology apologies where it's like, I'm sorry about his Jewish business partners, you know? And you can tell she's not really apologizing.
I'm sorry that people were offended by my remarks.
About his Jewish business partners.
I mean, how do you think that's okay to say? How? Like, please.
I thought you'd have to...
Tweet us.
Yeah.
At USU Bullpen and let us know.
Come on the air. You know, we want to talk about...
We want to talk about this with you and understand what your frame of mind is.
An intervention. We're having an intervention.
It's been too long. I mean, we're having a Twittervention.
Twittervention.
Awesome. But moving on, I want to talk about another thing that also is kind of it's related to race, because this week. Some off-duty cops that worked security for the Minnesota Lynx games, like at their arena, several of them quit, like after the pregame when Minnesota Lynx players were wearing like shirts as warm-ups that said like had the Black Lives Matter thing on it, and this is something I want to dive into a little bit. I mean, the movement itself isn't really like set in sports. There have been some athletes who have like been a part of it or whatever, but I do want to talk about it because it's such a big issue and it became relevant for sports right here with this. So, you know, several of the starters and it might have been the whole team. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, I think the picture online I saw like four.
Yeah, at least like the four like.
But that was at the press conference. Players. So that might. That like might just be them.
Their best players. They were all wearing these Black Lives Matter shirts. And these cops that are off-duty cops that were working security decided that they were going to quit. They didn't want to be a part of it. And even the police chief said that he wouldn't be surprised if, like, no one wanted to work for them at that and be security guards. And the reason why is this. Because... You know, the Black Lives Matter movement was, you know, I believe it was established to try to help make change and to kind of reduce the, the police brutality against black people. But really, it has evolved into something completely different. At this point, the majority, not everyone, at least from what I have seen, and I could be wrong, and it might not be as many as I think, but a lot of people in the Black Lives Movement have made it more of an issue where it's, you know, us versus them. It's like, you know, black people versus the police, and made it kind of a little bit of a war sort of thing. And for me, it's really sad because, I mean, obviously I'm not happy when, you know, there's, you know, unjustified shooting of someone. I also don't believe that, you know, police should overstep and use brutality, like, unnecessarily. I think that a lot of the problems stem from that attitude that has evolved, that it's, you know, black people versus the police, regardless of whatever ethnicity the police officer is. You know, a lot of these people, they think that, you know, any white cop is their enemy, and that's kind of happened in Dallas when they had the protest. And then the police officers were there and just making sure, like, that there wasn't any violence or whatever. And from what I understood from that situation, there wasn't any problem between the protesters and the police in that situation. But someone decided that they were going to start shooting cops because, yeah, you know, it's still that us versus them thing.
Yeah, which, like, considering that, though, it's like I can understand, like, some of the frustration on the off-duty cops on that part. I mean, especially if it's... Because it was, like, that week at this... Yeah. Or it was, like, around that time that it happened.
This is shortly after the shootings in Dallas.
So it's, like, a part of me can see, it's like, okay, if I was a cop working security, I'd... You know, because cops, you know, they know what that's like when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
I think they're totally justified,
off-duty police officers, because, as I was saying, like, this movement has become black people versus the police. And so when the players that you're there to protect are basically bringing that up and, you know, kind of reintroducing it, saying, like, because, like I said, that movement has kind of evolved into us versus them. And when the players you're there to protect are perpetuating that, I mean, I don't think they had a problem with them trying to, like, spread awareness and, like, about the deaths of those two guys last week. And if they had their names on there, but then they didn't say anything about the police officers who were, you know, murdered in the street with a sniper rifle in Dallas. And so, I mean, I'm all for people protesting police violence when it's unjustified. But a lot of times, like, for these people, like, it doesn't matter what the circumstances were. In their mind, if a police officer killed a black person, then the police officer was in the wrong. You know, there have been times that they have been wrong. But there's other times when they were defending themselves, but people just automatically assume it's something racial. And there is some racial profiling. I reposted a post of, I think he's retired, a black police officer who, like, I think is retired. He might still be active duty or whatever, but anyway, he talked about the problem with it, like the same thing, like that they've got this mentality that it's us versus them, and really gives some statistics that, you know, there's more white people that are killed by police every year than black people. But you don't ever hear about people like having a problem with police having, like, going too far with white people. Like, that never comes up, because while there is a problem with it at times with people that are black, that are, like, they're the suspects for the police and the police overstep and go too far, there are, you know, multiple examples of that. But not everybody is like that. Not every police officer is like that. And this guy that I posted about, or that I reposted, he said, like, you know, these people, they don't think about how, you know, us as police officers, we're enraged when that happens because it reflects badly on us. And when you have these guys that, you know, aren't worth dirt, like, that have a police officer, like, that they have the shield or whatever, and they make everyone else look bad even though they're not worthy of even having that position. And so, I mean, yes, there is a problem with police brutality, but it's not just against black people. Granted, it might happen more with black people. It's hard to say because you never hear about anything when it's, like, with white people. There are more, you know, police shootings, justified and not justified, every year against white people than there are against black people. And so it's not just a, you know, cops versus black people thing. It's, you know, there are some cops that are bad, that are dirty. Sure. And the thing about it is this movement has really made it so it's, as a police officer, like, you have to be worried anytime you go into a predominantly black area, not because they're inherently more violent or anything, because I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But there is a bit large, like, a widespread mentality among black people that the police are their enemy. Even though they're there to protect them, they believe that the police are their enemy. And so they will, like, if there's a crime that goes down, if someone gets shot, like this police officer talked about times where someone would be shot and he'd be like, hey, did anyone see anything? And they just said, beep the police, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they wouldn't cooperate at all. They wouldn't try to help the policeman find whoever just committed a crime against one of their own. Mm-hmm. Because the police are their enemy. And so I have no problem at all with these cops, these off-duty cops, yeah, saying, yeah, no, I'm not going to be a part of this because, you know, I'm not going to perpetuate something that makes me a target. Yeah. Because these guys, the majority of police officers, like, are not at all, you know, trying to do anything like this. But the mentality of a lot of people is that they are, that they're all like that.
Yeah.
And it's really just very few. And they reflect badly on the police force, and the police force does not want them around them anyway. So,
yeah. Well, I think also from like, just from like an organizational standpoint in professional sports, because usually they're really strict about even your warm-up gear and the things you wear while you're representing the team. Yeah. And so I think there's the issue of that. It's like, because we've had athletes fined for, you know, in other sports and stuff, for fined for not wearing the, like, the pre-approved the stuff. Yeah. Like in the NFL, Jim McMahon used to write on his headbands and would get fined for that. Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily the same story, but it's like, I'm interested to see what the reaction is, because it is such an, in this case, it is such an overtly political message, yeah, but you're also an organization that's catering to pretty much everybody who pays to show tickets, and so
yeah,
so because usually, you know, you got to wear the warm-up gear that your team is given.
I feel like in basketball, so, they're a little bit more lax about what you wear as a warm-up shirt. I think almost always you have to have like your team logo on it. And they have ones that are designated for them, but I know that there have been different times that players in the NBA have worn shirts that were like political and didn't really have to do with the team.
But it's like,
and they might get fined, but it's not really that much for them because they make a lot of money. Because
they're making tons of money, but it's like, I don't know how far do you take that where it's like, you know, because you're warming up and you're trying to be a team, you know, you want to be a team and unified, but if you got all this other political stuff coming into it as well, you know, it's just like, what do you do, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough question, and I think if somebody knew the answer, like, they would have tried to install that.
Yeah, because I'm surprised it even, you know, it got to the court as well, because, you know, with how strict sports can be about what you wear when you're representing your team, I'm a little surprised, you know, because, you know, because there's been far smaller things that have been fined over.
Yeah. In you can get fined for a lot of different things. And maybe they got fined. I didn't see that. But it
was kind of like, going back to a little bit what I was saying earlier, I think the timing was just bad.
Well, I mean,
just because of what had happened a few days prior in Dallas. I think it might have just gone without incident had it been something else, I mean, or at least another time. But I think because it was so quickly on the heels of Dallas that,
if Dallas was right off the heels of the other thing. So,
yeah,
like the issue isn't that they were trying to bring up, like, remembrance of the two guys who got shot.
Sure.
Which, I mean, they did an investigation to find out if that was, like, if there was justified in either one of those. I don't know. I've only, you know, dealt with a little bit with the Alton Sterling one. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can't say definitively one way or the other because it looked like he was struggling, but it's also hard to see from where the angle of the camera was. I don't know all the details, so I can't make a judgment if it was justified or not. There have been times that it's been obviously unjustified that there's been violence.
Yeah.
But at times, there's also, and this is something that is a problem, is that there's a lot of, you know, widespread, what is the word? Well, these people, like, they won't listen to what the police officers are saying. And the police officers, they have the authority to try to, like, to tell you to do something to try to protect people or whatever. And sometimes they get carried away and they overstep their bounds. But a lot of times, they're trying to do their job, And when you refuse to listen to them, a lot of times, I mean, that can be scary for you as a police officer. If you're surrounded by a bunch of people and they won't listen to you and they're, like, walking towards you, what, I mean, you could fear for your life in that situation. There's a lot of different things. And I think just there needs to be a lot more cooperation between both sides. There needs to be, you know, I don't know how best you could, like, get rid of the police officers who have the wrong mindsets that we've been talking about that could, like, that are going to be a problem when it comes to overstepping and police brutality. The problem is a lot of this, it goes, you know, unmarked because, like, their partner doesn't want to, like, rat out their, like, their partner who's, like, kind of being overly aggressive on things. And then at times you have two bad eggs together and it just kind of perpetuates. I really, like, I hope that they can find a way to kind of eliminate some of the, like, pull out some of these police officers who are of that mindset so that these get fewer and fewer until we don't have any. I mean, every once in a while someone might lose their cool and be a little bit brutal, but hopefully not, like, shootings, because that's, I don't know, they something needs to be done. It's hard to say what needs to be done because, I mean, I don't know how best you could combat that. But for me, this mindset has to go away that it's, you know, us versus them, because that's just going to perpetuate violence and make this keep going on. Because I know cops are very defensive of their own. Like, so if someone shoots a cop, you know, the other cops around them, like, they're going to be a lot more motivated to take that person out because, you know, they attacked their family and stuff. And
and I think that deep emotion is what we saw in Minnesota with the cops who just left the game. I think because
there's been lots of emotion.
No matter where it happens, I think every cop feels it whenever it does happen that an officer dies on the line of duty. And so I think that's why I think the timing of the shirts was so unfortunate, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sure. Bring remembrance to the two guys that got shot, whether or not they were justified. Because I don't know, and I can't say if they were or not because I haven't done all the research on it. So I don't know if they were justified or not, but that's fine to remember them, but also remember the police officers who were shot in the street while they were there to make sure that there wasn't violence against the Black Lives Matter protest that was going on there in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing, is just that it was right afterwards. So, I mean, it wasn't like that wasn't relevant anymore. It happened more recently than the other two.
Yeah.
So sure. Support. Remember those who were shot, but remember the police officers too, because they're there to protect us. And I think a lot of times people think that they're there to control us, and that's not really what they're. That's not really what the majority of them are trying to do. Some might be.
Yeah.
And don't support that. Don't be defiant against it or anything, because they might be the ones who are likely to do something, you know, of that nature. But we just needs to be a lot more cooperation between, like, both sides. And it needs to end up being a thing where there's not two sides.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as long as we're split on two sides, there's going to continue to be violence. There's going to continue to be, you know, these sad instances where someone is shot and when police officers are shot as well. And, I mean, it's not good for anybody on either side. Yeah. So really, we just need to find a way to work together and not, you know, not perpetuate this violence. Because, like, these police officers, they're still part of your community. Mm. And obviously, if you see something like police brutality that's going on, you know, let the people at the station know. Like, say, hey, this officer, like, I feel like he's going overboard with what he's doing. Rather than just assuming that all police officers are like that, you know, help, because these police stations, they don't know. They can't go with their officers everywhere. I mean, they can't, you know, babysit them everywhere they go and see what they're doing. So if you see something, you know, let their superiors know, because, you know, these guys don't all have the mindset that they want to hurt you. I mean, they're there to protect and serve. Some, unfortunately, are not. But the majority are there to protect and serve.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of went on a little bit longer than I was expecting to go on that.
No, it's good.
Let's shift gears now and talk the MLB All-Star Game and, well, I guess All-Star Weekend. And I'm going to turn it over to Evan because I honestly didn't watch it.
No, yeah, I mean, I was following it online. Obviously, American League pulls out with the win 4-2. But before that, with the home run derby, Giancarlo Stanton, 61 homers in the home run derby, which by far and away is the new.
What was the previous record, you know?
I can't remember. I remember, I think, was it Abreu hit like 24 or something one year, and I thought that was pretty impressive. I don't know if that was the record.
If I could figure that out.
Yeah, if you could, but I just know that 61 homers is pretty impressive, which kind of, you know, which kind of got me interested in whether, you know, in the past few years we've talked about, you know, the pitching dominance in the game, and how it's kind of, at least for the past few years, been the era of the pitcher, or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm starting to wonder if that trend is done, that we're kind of moving back into the to a more offensive game, because I was able to look up some of the stats. I only went back to about 08, and so I was just kind of looking at a few things like home runs, hits, and on-base percentage, so how many times they get there. And so I do definitely think that, at least in, you know, from about 2012 to maybe 2014, I think, was the real era of dominance for the pitcher. And I think we're out of that now. Just looking at some of the stats, 2015, average home runs by teams last year, about 164 per team, 1,404 hits, and a 317 on-base percentage, which is increased from the 2014 low, in which we saw only 140 home runs on average, and only a 314.
It's not that much different. It's only like 50.
But it's like, it was like going down, but it's kind of like curving up. So it's not that completely pitchers are done, so to speak, from dominating the game, but I think it's curving back the other
way.
There's
a trend that there's better hitting going on.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the peak of the pitching was probably 2014, because and obviously we haven't gone through the whole season yet so far. It's only been like 80 something games, a little bit over halfway through, but already you know, the average for home runs per team is over 100, and definitely getting on base, batters getting on base, whether it's hits, walks, or getting hit by a pitch. The current number is 323, which is, you know, a pretty big upswing, at least from the 317. I mean, not huge. It's not like night and day, but I think we are seeing a trend where hitting is coming back as it's getting its strength back after a few years of pitchers dominating.
Which is a bit exciting if for people that aren't as deeply into baseball as someone like you, because it's more exciting. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, the added offense will be a benefit for the league. But at the same time, you still do have good, really good performances by the pitchers.
Yeah, in 2015, I think it was like either 7 or 8 no-hitters. I mean, it was a crazy year for no-hitters last year. So, I mean, so there definitely still is great pitching performances. One that comes to mind, Jake Arrieta, going on his, and this covered a couple of seasons, but this just fantastic win streak that did include a no-hitter. But, yeah, just looking at some of, like, the on-base percentage, I think we saw the best defense in terms of not allowing players to get on base, not just hits, but, like, walks, and stuff like that in 2014. And so I think the trend is coming back.
Yeah, I mean, and so there was that major drop off after the steroid era.
Yeah.
Because these guys weren't used to hitting without juicing, and so they weren't getting as good of hits and stuff. But it just goes to show that even now, like, even though they are policing steroids a lot more, like, you're still able to hit home runs without them.
Yeah.
And you're still able to get hits without them. But it did take an adjustment period, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's why the numbers were down for so long, is because these guys weren't used to playing normal.
And I mean, we had...
Not that everyone was using.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were better numbers in, like, 08, 09, and 2010 in terms of offense. And I think there was just that... In the early part of the 2010s, there was just that dip down. And I would be curious to see with the new... I guess it's like the play clock for baseball now. Pitchers have to get to the next pitch within a certain amount of time now.
It speeds it up.
So I would be curious to see how that... I think it's too new to know, but it would be curious to see what kind of effect that has on the game.
And I did look that up. So Abreu finished with 41 in that that time.
Okay, 41.
So it was still 20 more than the previous record.
Yeah, 61. That's like... Roger Maris hitting all he did. I mean, all season. I mean, it's not as hard, you know, because nobody's really pitching to you in a home run derby. But 61, that's you know, even for a home run derby, that's pretty sweet. So
yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and
to get 20 more is ridiculous.
Yeah. So I mean, other than that, American League walking away with its fourth straight All-Star game, fourth straight home field advantage. Although I did see a rumor now that MLB players would like to just have the best record get the home field advantage.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. I mean, I think we talked about this before. Pretty sure we have.
Yeah, I think we did last time.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that it's ridiculous that whoever wins the All-Star, like whichever league wins the All-Star game gets home field advantage because... Like, let's say a wild card team somehow makes it to the World Series against the number one seed from the other side, and the wild card team's league won the All-Star game, which, you know, isn't really set up to be ultra-competitive because you got to try to get everyone time to play, and so you're not necessarily trying for the win, per se. And the wild card team gets home field advantage despite barely making it into the playoffs. I think it's... ridiculous system. I mean, on the one hand, it is cool that the All-Star game means something, but at the same time, I mean, you could have a player from like the Diamondbacks be in the All-Star game and like be the one responsible for the win, but the Diamondbacks aren't going to make it to the World Series.
Yeah.
They used this example on ESPN the other day, might have been yesterday. But it's like, so I mean, you'll have players that aren't going to be involved in the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
That are affecting whether or not the team from their league and potentially their division, you know, whether or not they get home field advantage. And it's just ridiculous because, I mean, it takes away from the importance of the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that brings up the other thing with the AL winning four straight years in a row. I was able to look at some of the power rankings and I was noticing that, the National League, it seems that your team is either really good or really bad.
Really good or really bad.
Yeah, so like the top 10 MLB teams, you know, 5 NL, 5 AL, but the bottom 10, you know, 7 NL teams, only 3 AL teams. And so it seems like, and I think I've seen other people comment about this, it's like there's really only about half the NL is trying to, you know, really trying to build up their team, whereas you've got, you know, teams like the Reds and the Phillies and, you know, and the Brewers just bottom dwelling the whole time. And so, so I just thought it was interesting just looking at the power rankings, just at least when it comes to the NL, either your team is really good or you're just really bad.
I mean, and some of that might be that your team looks like they're really bad because they're playing against a really good team. Could be that. Maybe they would be better if they were in the other conference, kind of like in the NBA. There's some teams that, like, barely at 500 in the West, But in the East, they could be like the second best team or something, get some more wins because they play more games against the Eastern Conference, which is weaker.
But I'm just surprised, though, because it's like I look at the standings now in the AL, and it seems a lot more closer together in terms of competitiveness that I see in the NL. Because already in the National League, I see teams kind of running away with their divisions already. You've got the Giants and Cubs and can't remember if the Mets are still on top. But in the American League, it seems like there's a lot more teams within striking distance of first place than there is over at the NL.
Yeah.
So, but just some observations.
Yeah. And a callback to the whole hitting versus pitching eras. Back when you know for sure that they were juicing with Mark McGwire and, you know, Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. Now, those guys, you know, Mark McGwire hit 70 and then 65 the next year. The year after that, Sammy Sosa had 50, but then Barry Bonds had 73. And, like, all the other years, like, the average is around, like, 45 to 50, sometimes a little bit more. Like, in 2006, Ryan Howard hit 58, but, like, mostly it's, like, 40s, low 50s.
And that's for a good...
And that's for, like, the best of the year. And then you have Mark McGwire popping off 70 and then 65.
Well, it's like even Sosa in 01 getting 64 home runs. Like, that's not even talked about just because of the whole juiced era. So.
Yeah, and that was the same year Barry Bonds hit 73.
Yeah, it's, like, insane that nobody would hit.
See, I mean, like, it's... And now, like, the guys... I guess the leader this year is Chris Bryant from the Cubs, and he's got 25 already, so he could get to 50.
Wow, that...
A little bit over 50, maybe, depending on how the second half of his season goes. But, you know, you don't expect him to shoot up and get 65 at this point.
And it would be impossible to even approach 70, you know, at this point, too. And so,
yeah, without steroids, you're not going to be able to get that.
Yeah, I mean, you may still be able to hit a home run without steroids, obviously, but it certainly helps. So.
Yeah. But yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about with the All-Star game?
I don't know. I would just say NL, get your act together. You know, four straight losses. It's time to revamp.
It's time to figure out what you're doing with your life.
Yeah.
Get a job, Alan. There's Stephen Colbert is funny, and he did a couple audiobooks. And one of those is like, I'm American, so can you.
Oh.
It's so funny. You should listen to it. But he, at one point, he's talking about, I think, government and saying something about how, like, you need to get out there and, you know, work hard and stuff. And instead of staying in your brother-in-law's basement, get a job, Alan. This is so funny. But, yeah, get your stuff together, NL. I want to thank everyone for listening. This has been the Bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. And, yeah, have a good rest of your week. It's hump day, so you're halfway there. Well, sort of. I mean, once you get to about noon today, you should be about halfway there. So
if,
a couple
if
hours.
If you survived that long.
You can get it.
You can do it.
You can manage this. Make sure you send out some camels to your coworkers and say, guess what day it is? Because it'll be fun. But again, I want to thank everyone for listening. We'll have this online, so if you want to listen to it, you can. I'm going to post that up right now in the next 5 minutes, so you can check it out there.